Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm your host for the Words, Women, and Wisdom show, Yvonne E. L. Silver. I am delighted to be interviewing today Gianna Gaudini, the Global Head of Events for SoftBank Vision Fund. I love doing this work because I'm passionate about teaching women to flourish in business. If we haven't met before, by trade, I'm an executive, certified executive coach, chartered HR professional with over 25 years of business success experiences, working in four different countries, working as a corporate senior HR VP, and also working as a self-employed consultant and business owner for 8 startups. So I teach women to flourish in business by having more confident conversations, teaching them to have more powerful language, to leverage the relationships they have so they can engage their team, they can ask for bigger sales, and work with a win-win approach. I love helping social enterprises grow and working with women entrepreneurs who have a massive vision. Today, I'm interviewing Gianna Gaudini, Global Head of Events for SoftBank Vision Fund, who will be joining me in just a moment. She works there producing elite events that support the portfolio company investor ecosystem. She supports their brand externally and internally. Now, before that, she spent close to 10 years producing Google's largest and most high-profile events and experiences. She just loves creating memorable experiences with flair and impact, whether that's a small dinner party or a massive event for 30,000 people. She says that each day she's so eager to attack the day, not just as a professional event planner, but eager to meet her whole life with the same level of commitment and enthusiasm. She is a certified interior designer, a certified sommelier, events planner extraordinaire, and published author. Her recent book, The Art of Event Planning, Insider Secrets, is already a bestseller. And it's a great tool if you plan any type of events. She's also a wife and mother, which I believe she'll talk about a little bit today as well. So she's here to share her insights from producing high-profile big events, as well as juggling multiple balls in work and life. Join me in just a moment. Gianna will be here. I look forward to our interview together. And I will connect with you after the interview. Well, good morning and welcome, everybody, to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show. Women and Wisdom radio show is about spotlighting amazing women, women who have risen through some sort of tragedy to triumph, chaos to confidence, and are now doing really interesting things in the world. And this series incorporates women from all over the world, all different industries, different stages of life, and it's intended to remind you that if you're going through something right now where you're just not sure how it's going to end up, that there is hope on the other side. There are amazing, resilient women who are showcasing what is possible. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by my guest, Gianna Gaudini. Now, I'm not sure if you go by Gianna or Gigi. Good morning.
Sure, I respond to both.
Well, can I call you Gigi?
Of course.
Awesome. Okay. So thank you for joining me, taking time out of your very busy schedule. I know that you have a very busy big job. You also have a family and a son. How old is your son now?
He is 2.5.
2.5. So getting into the terrible twos. It's a crazy busy time with all that development.
It's so funny that you just asked what I call myself, because just this week he started calling me Gianna. And I said, did you call me Gianna? So he's already very precocious and getting into that phase of, you know, acting like a mini grown up. So it's very fun.
Lovely. So you and I first connected actually through a beautiful colleague of mine, Linda Matthew Jacobs. And actually Linda Matthew was a lady that I interviewed recently on the Words, Women and Wisdom show. She's got such a fun, zesty life. So we did an interview around zesty living, and she was talking about some of her journey And then also some of the things that she's up to. She and I share that passion for mentoring, especially women. That's my passion for the past 10 years. And we just together jointly hosted an event a couple of weeks back now at the Calgary Petroleum Club here, inviting a Silicon Valley CEO to join us. So it was the Art of Mentoring. And my calendar has been jammed ever since with follow-up conversations from that. So that's how we first got connected. And I was really intrigued because we just got connected right around the time that you were getting ready to launch your book. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could start there and talk a little bit about how that came about. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get into a sort of a more formal intro. Well, you can intro, you know, share a little bit of your background along the way as well, because you have an interesting background. Let's start with the book.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I think mentoring is such a good segue into it, because mentoring has always been a lifelong passion of mine as well. Mm. And, you know, I had a very interesting path to land at my career. But it has been a lifelong career. It's not just a job. When I set out to be an event planner, I had a vision that this would be a lifelong career and that I could build upon it and grow. And I have been fortunate enough to be able to do that. And so I've enjoyed mentoring others along the way, giving back the way that others mentored me in my early career phase. And so one of the reasons I ended up writing the book, The Art of Event Planning, was honestly a way to scale my ability to mentor. Having a son was one of the best things that's ever happened to me, if not the best thing that's ever happened to me. But it does add some limitations on my bandwidth. And just there's just not as many hours in a day for things like mentoring as I used to have. And so I thought, why not share a lot of my learnings in a more scalable medium? So I built the platform, The Art of Event Planning, not only as a book, but I built out a website with resources for folks. And it's just been a really great medium for interacting with a much wider array of young professionals, people looking to make a career change, a foray into event planning. I've just met so many people along the way through this platform and am continuing to. So I'm glad I did it.
Absolutely. So the Art of Event Planning, you have come to this stage in your life after, 10 years of working at Google? 10 years doing
that was just the Google.
That was the Google, right?
Google. And a lot of event planning before that too, on the agency side, on the nonprofit side. So,
yeah. So, I'm curious, you know, what were some of your biggest learnings? I mean, particularly, you know, I think everybody recognizes Google as being a global giant, right? And they probably have deeper pockets perhaps to do some of these cool things with innovative technology than perhaps some of the not-for-profits do. So, what are some of the biggest learnings in event planning, either from Google or some of your past experiences, that you feel that more junior people who want to start hosting events, small or large, could really benefit by understanding from your wisdom?
So many things. To name a few, because 10 years is a lot of learning, I think one thing that you have to be aware of, especially for a company like Google that, while large, you know, has so many varying products and so many stakeholders, you have to just embrace flexibility. Mm. You have to be able to flex your style, and you have to be able to embrace change and learn how to roll with it and just prepare for various scenarios. Mm-hmm. To give you an example, when you think of product launches as one form of event, imagine you're planning a hardware launch for Google hardware, and you've got your date set, your venue picked out, your invites out, and then you learn that your competitor has decided to host their event the day before you.
Mm.
So things like that you can only really learn by doing the job, and you realize that you have to plan, okay, this could happen. We have to plan multiple dates, multiple venues. We have to be able to pivot. We have to build contingency into our budget for cancellation fees, build rebooking clauses into our venue contracts. You know, things like that, you just start to get really savvy as a flexible mm-hmm. event planner, and you start to prepare for as many scenarios as possible.
Yes.
So that's a huge learning that continues to be an asset to me to this very day, both in life at home as well as in my career.
Absolutely.
It's really helped actually being a new mom, because you wake up and you never know, is my kid going to be sick today? Is something going to happen at school? So you just learn how to roll with the punches and be flexible.
You do. And, you know, if someone had said to me when I was pregnant, you know, you're going to be, you know, 35 and this is going to be, you know, possibly your last chance at getting pregnant, which took 2 years to happen. And you're going to have a special needs child who is going to be both magical and challenging. I never would have envisioned all of the things that would have been gifted through that experience. He's an amazing young man. He's now 24 and, he has been doing his artwork and raising money by selling his paintings, Operation Smile. Mm-hmm. And so he's already paid for 4 young kids with cleft palates to have surgery on their faces to help them smile again. And I mean,
that's amazing.
He's teaching other kids that no matter what your circumstances are, anyone can make a difference. You know, this last summer, he's had some things that have sort of upset his routine, and he's had some medical challenges to deal with. And again, you got to just flex with it, roll with it. And, you know, the things that you can prioritize, reprioritize to be at doctor's appointments and things, you do. And every now and then there's something that you just can't put off because it's, you know, people have bought into it. People have got excited about it. You're hosting a joint event. You got to go. Yeah.
Well, that brings up another great learning that I hadn't even thought about until you brought up your son, but Google is such an inclusive place to work. It really helped me learn to plan for everyone. So diversity and inclusion is such a integral part of our event planning.
Yes.
You know, everything from planning pronoun stickers for registration so that you address people properly, to planning areas for seeing eye dogs to relieve themselves at your event, little things like that that you wouldn't think about. Building in closed captioning to all of your content or offering translation, making sure that everything's accessible from your aisles to the heights of your tables. You know, there's so much that you can do to plan more inclusive events. And another thing I've learned at Google is building really successful teams. And one of the things I learned along the way is try to build in diversity into your teams, because everybody has a different perspective and they can bring that unique perspective to the table and lend so much valuable insight that just helps your experience be not only more relevant, but more authentic to your audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I certainly haven't run the size of events to this point myself personally, where I've had an interpreter someone doing sign language, but that's certainly an excellent point that I'm going to have to add on to my check. Actually, I'm going to have to add a lot of things onto my checklist after this conversation.
Oh, so I had a fan reach out to me and say, I love your, you know, your podcast and your work, but can you make your website more inclusive? There's an app that will actually translate it. And I actually, it's on my to-do list to do. I need to make my personal website more accessible.
Right. Well, if listeners want to follow along, your website, just give me the address again.
Yes, it's just my first and last name, GiannaGaudini.com.
Okay, so GiannaGaudini.com.
That's it.
All right, we'll repeat it again at the end as well. Okay. So some great lessons that I'm learning already just in that one conversation. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, this whole concept of of the show is really about, you know, tragedy to triumph. And I know that with your wealth of life experiences, there's probably one or two things in particular that have contributed to you becoming the person you are today. So we're willing to share a few of the key steps along your journey, share a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're at currently as well. And let's just get to know you a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. The timing is really good because I am in the process of writing an article that is very personal and revealing for Thrive, Arianna Huffington's company. Mm-hmm. And I met her recently at an event and it encouraged me to share my story. So this will be a sneak preview of that.
I like sneak previews.
Yes. Exclusive sneak preview here on Words, Women, and Wisdom. So, you know, I've always been of the mindset of you work hard enough at anything, you can achieve it. And sometimes to my detriment, because I put my health second. You know, I burn the candle at both ends. I sacrifice sleep and, you know, friends and any kind of satisfaction and pleasure just to pursue goals and achieve and, you know, have a high level of conscientiousness.
Right.
Which has gotten me far in life to some degree. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned it took you a couple of years to conceive, and I went through the same experience. Mm-hmm. I was ready to start a family with my husband. I think I was around 31. And I assumed this is going to happen as soon as I'm ready. I was perfectly prepared, of course. And when months and months went by with nothing, it was so frustrating to me. You know, why isn't this happening?
So I can't control.
Yeah. Why is this not happening? So when I finally saw a doctor, it was so eye-opening to me to hear them say, you have to take your foot off the pedal. Your body, there's nothing wrong with you, but your body is so stressed out. You're just pushing it to the limit. Like, it doesn't think it can carry a life. It can barely, you're barely taking care of yourself because you're pushing it so hard.
Right.
If you go back to, you know, our earlier hunter-gatherer lifestyle, and you think of, you know, when women are on the run and in the high stress scenarios, that would not be the time that they would be settling down and having families. And so similarly, our, you know, my body, I think, was in that state of high alert.
Right.
So I had to start sleeping more. Mm-hmm. I had to start running less. Physically running less. I used to run marathons. Start eating more. That was the fun part. Lots of gelato.
Well, I noticed, I mean, you have a very slim frame. My yeah. mom was built in the same fashion. I inherited my dad's body. So see ice cream and, you know, there's 10 pounds magically appear.
Yeah. And that was so hard for me to actually slow down, to do less. It was so hard. And even still, I had a difficult time shutting off the stress to the point where after four cycles of failed IVF, I just knew intuitively that I needed a full break because the nature of my work, it's just inherently stressful. It's inherently, you're always on, you're always pushing towards a deadline. It's very, very public facing. Mm-hmm. And I just knew I need to take a month off, give myself a full month to allow my body to just settle down. And fortunately enough, I had plenty of vacation time saved up and a wonderful work family that was so supportive of this. And I took the whole month of August off. And sure enough, that's when I was able to conceive.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's, you know, sometimes you just have to, you have to tap into your intuition. And I knew I had to take a full stop, a full break in order to be able to get to that place of allowing my body to feel like it could conceive, it could carry a second life.
Wow. So. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, well, that's pretty, you know, not heavy stuff, but, you know, I thank you for sharing that because it's so important. I think that as women that we feel fulfilled, whether that is through our work or whether it is through our natural reproductive role, or the balancing, you know, of those two things. I mean, when I had Alex, I went back to work part-time when he was 6 months old. Because he was special needs, I didn't really feel that I was seeing as much progress fast enough. And I was really craving those outside conversations about creating new things and being in business conversations. So I went back part-time, but I remember the first day going back, I'm driving to the daycare in the car and I am bawling the whole way there. And then I dropped him off and then he was bawling. And then I was bawling on the way there, you know, from the daycare to work. And then even more so at the end of the day, when I went to pick him up and the daycare director pulled me aside. And at this point, we didn't know that he had special needs. We just thought he was a little bit slower in developing, and all my friends had baby girls, so they develop faster than boys. So I wasn't worried. And then the daycare director pulled me aside and said, "Dear, I have to share, you know, by now your son should be doing this and this and this and this and this. And I think you need to get him checked for developmental delays." And I was like, oh, deer in the headlights, crushed. So then I cried all the way home as well. It was a horrible day. But those gifts have shown up in other ways. He's been just such a beautiful, kind-hearted ray of sunshine and soul to be around. And the painting has just been amazing. It's, you know, customized paintings that he's done that have appeared on covers of magazines, been sold at, you know, auctions and raised money for that charity, or for, again, for his pet project, the Operation Smile project. So out of everything is always a silver lining.
And right.
So part of what this show is all about is showcasing. Yeah, you'll all have things in life that are unexpected, that you need to work through, that you need to make a choice about. And in your case, you made the conscious choice. The only way I'm going to do this is for my body to chill, and I'm going to take a month off. That's my priority this month, is to get pregnant. And yeah, it happened. Yeah. I know that with writing a book, you know, we have this peak of activity. Mine took a couple of years to actually produce, 9 months to write it. It's almost 300 pages. And then another 9 months to find the right editor, proofreader, editor, you know.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, right? In my opinion.
That's bigger than the actual writing part.
It took about the same amount of time for me. It was just as labor intensive and just as lengthy a process to do the editing.
Yeah.
So many rounds of editing and proofing and tweaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. On that note, I'm just going to run a short clip here, which talks about words, women, and wisdom, the modern art of confident conversations. I think there's always some new listeners that haven't heard the story about, you know, how it came about. So I'm just going to share my screen for a moment. Let's see if we can get this right up here.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
Okay, so that was the book launch video, obviously, from last year. And it did, I believe it was significant in helping to raise the awareness of what the book could offer, and also give something for many of my friends globally who are part of the Evolutionary Business Council to have a tool to share, and it got to bestseller the next day, which was just delightful. So one launch, overnight success. Great. Yay. your book has launched a little while ago. I'm just going to go nipping back here to the questions that I had prepared here. So tell me a little bit about where the book, what phase is the book launch in right now?
The book launched in June, and I hadn't been planning on a career move, but I just so happened, ended up being recruited for a new company around the same time as the book launch. And so 2 days after the book launch, I started a new job as the global head of events for the SoftBank Vision Fund. Mm-hmm. You know, very exciting company and role, but I haven't been able to focus as much on the follow-up book tours as I had initially planned. So my press interviews and such and engagements have really been limited to the weekends when my son is sleeping for the most part. So the book did reach, it was the number one new release and bestseller on Amazon in a few categories. So that was a goal. Was still able to achieve that. And yeah, right now you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble via my website. Lots of ways to get the book in paperback, hard copy, Kindle version. Someday I'll do the audio version for moms like me who like to multitask and listen to their books.
I actually had an interview. I did a few, I'm just thinking, a couple of months ago now, and it was with a lady, Catherine Sicali Stevens, who is a social media maven, and she was sharing her story of being dyslexic. And it reminded me, as we were speaking, that I have the ebook version and obviously the hard copy version, but I do need to do an audiobook, and the plan is to have that ready for International Women's Day next year. It's hard to think about how much can I highlight out of my 300-page book, so that it's not a year-long listening audio book. But that's right. I mean, if we want to be inclusive, we want to celebrate diversity, then we really do need to make it accessible to everybody. And you're a busy mom. I mean, how much time do you spend in your car, right? Where you could be listening to an ebook, probably quite a bit of time.
I know. And I'm an avid reader. I absolutely love reading. And I still try to read a little bit every night before I go to bed, just to switch off my brain from, right up till I go to sleep. But during all those other times during the day, I try to squeeze an audiobook so I can keep imbibing that content that I want. So whether it's when I'm, doing my makeup in the morning or in transit or even doing crunches in the morning or stretching out, it's such a great time to get in a little bit more reading, whether it's a podcast or an audiobook. I'm a huge fan of audio content.
Yeah. Well, certainly, when you're an author, I think, part of the draw to being an author is because you're an avid reader and you love, you love information gathering and sharing. And, certainly for me, when I look around at some of the people that are in my same age range and some of them not as healthy as I am, it's like, yeah, this is really a legacy project as well. I'm curious, for the people who are listening who are not necessarily event planners, but they're authors, is there anything particularly you'd like to share about what you discovered during the writing process? Any key lessons learned there?
Oh, so much. I think for me, I had always thought that the hardest part of writing the book would be the writing, but that was the easy part. It was really, it was really easy to write, but I think it was the editing and the reformatting, the restructuring of the book so that it had the right balance of content, the right arc. That was the hardest part. So at some point my editor said, okay, just stop worrying about the narrative arc and, the format of the book and just write, just get all the content out.
Yeah.
And so that was great. That just came so easily and I got it all done in a few months. Then the hard part was, how do we organize this so that it actually flows? And then where do we need to supplement, and then refining was the challenge. That's
however long you think it's going to take, double it.
And then I think the other thing that I realized about halfway through is, oh gosh, writing the book is just the first teeny little part of it. Then there's the marketing, and the marketing is a huge, it's a full-time job, and I wish I could have devoted a full-time job's worth of time to it because that would have been great. So I think I did as much as I could do. Mm-hmm. And at some point you just have to realize, you do the best you can.
Yeah.
I wanted to hit Amazon bestseller and I did what it took to get to that. And you got to let the rest go.
Absolutely. So Amazon bestseller, The Art of Event Planning, Jenna's new book, is already a bestseller. That's available through Amazon. It's also probably on your website. There's a button to click. I didn't get connected right before we started our call, which I very often do, but I'm sure it's on there.
Just GiannaGaudini.com/book and you'll find it.
And I think I saw a few blog posts, which may also be snippets of content as teasers for some very specific elements of event planning that you had on your website when we first got connected. I'm not sure if they're still currently there as part of a blog.
Lots of blog content, lots of press articles with sneak previews and my, you know, what I call the Holy Grail top 10 tips for planning events, all kinds of good content.
Lovely.
Yeah. Okay.
So that may be something that listeners can tap into right away. The other thing that I wanted to touch on is, you know, as a young mom, right, 2.5, what's your son's name, by the way?
His name is Giacomo.
Giacomo, wow. That's a lovely, interesting name. You're not going to get two of those being called out in the doctor's office.
Yeah, a.k.a. Jack. Jack is the American version, but
yeah,
we needed lovely to give him an Italian G name. So Giacomo it was.
Right. So with your very busy schedule, you have a massive job. And, you know, congratulations. I understand that you just pulled off probably the or one of the largest events you ever have done in your career. So congrats on that. As a young mom, you know, what tips can you share about creating work-life balance? Mm. Do you believe it's possible, first of all?
Jury's still out on that one. you know, I mean, similar to my philosophy that I just shared about publishing the book and wanting to do so much more with the marketing, there's always more that I want to do as an event leader, and there's always more that I want to do as a boss, as a wife, as a mother. At some point, you have to realize that you do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And I read a great article, it was either a book or an article, that had shown that studies, they'd done studies and it showed that working moms not only led to more successful children in the long run, but if you can spend just an hour's worth of quality time with your child a day, that's all it takes. It's just as good as a full day's worth of, you know, quasi semi attention spent, you know, multitasking while, you know, child rearing. So when I am with my son, I really, really try hard to make that sacred time to put down my phone, unless I'm snapping photos of him, to really engage with him, to make the most, even if it is just an hour a day. And then I don't feel so guilty, you know, as long as that time is well spent.
Right.
And I'm constantly engaged with my son. You know, you have to let go of the mom guilt of all the other things that you could be doing.
Yeah. I think that applies so much in everything we do, you know, give it the full focus. I mean, I'm a big fan of, you know, one of my easy tips is, you know, don't have pop-up windows coming up all the time on your computer reminding you of stuff. You know, have one thing that is your calendar for the day that's going to tag and remind you that you have a meeting coming up in 10 minutes or whatever it is. And then, you know, turn all the other ones off so that you can maximize the time you have, be really focused. You know, you don't want to be losing, what, 12 minutes, I think they say it is, every time that you have a distraction when you're working, especially on a big project. Mm-hmm. And on that vein, you know, with this last big event that you just completed, and congrats on that, is there one or two, you know, three at the most, maybe, you know, key things that you learned in this most recent go around about hosting fabulous big events?
You know, I would say I won't focus on the event specifically, but in this new role, I think the most challenging facet I was tasked with was, you know, I joined the company as the sole head of events. We have one head of marketing, one head of events. And interestingly enough, we had a full calendar of events planned. And I thought to myself, well, how are we going to get these done? We don't have a team.
Right.
And so having to hire a team to support me while planning this event, you know, the first one was the hardest because I was hiring a team while planning. So it was basically, I keep saying, I was building the plane while flying it.
Exactly, yes.
And so that was the most challenging aspect, I think, of this last event. And I was so fortunate, going back to an earlier question of yours about what I learned at Google, you know, I was, the biggest events of my career were actually at Google. I produced Google's largest enterprise conference for 30,000 people, Google Cloud Next. I did that 3 years in a row. As you can imagine, it takes an army to plan an event for 30,000 people.
Right.
And so part of my remit was to hire on freelance event planners and full-time event planners to support and scale our team. And so I've, you know, along the way, met so many fantastic people. And I was so lucky that because of those relationships that I forged, because of the wide network of folks that I was put in contact with and continue to stay in touch with, it was surprisingly easy to get folks on board with me in this new career. And just, you know, the team is everything. I can't say it enough that you cannot plan an event without a team. It can be a small team, but events are seldom planned by one person alone.
Yep.
And, it, you know, so the right team energy, the right team balance is so critical to success. And through every challenge, through, you know, every weekend working 24/7, we were all in it together. And it just made it so doable to have that support. So that was definitely the biggest learning, was get the right team and you can do anything.
Yeah. Well, I did read through some of your blog items when we first got connected, because it's been a while getting this interview booked, because you're busy, I'm busy. But one of the keys I took away that I brought into a conference that I was part of this summer, which was the Lead with Purpose conference. I was working on the board for the Nest Foundation, which is raising the awareness of how women take time after they've been through traumatic experience to regroup, and then, you know, how they need support from that sort of 2 to 10 year time frame when they're rebuilding their lives. There's a lot of immediate support if you're in trauma, you know, shelters and various other programs, but after you finish, you know, after about 2 years, you're not necessarily reinvented at that point in time and reestablished and maybe have the, you know, the cash flow to support your family. So where do you go then? And that's what the Nest Foundation is all about, is education, wellness, and mentorship programs to support those women in that phase of life. But what I learned from reading your blog was about the importance of how do you want your audience to feel when they attend, and then building everything. To me, that was kind of like the nugget of hiring a great team. You start with what are their values and what are your values, and is there an overlap? Because if you don't have the same values, then, you know, you're never going to agree later on in the conversation, right?
People are driven by emotions.
Exactly.
You know, your team or your audience, have to put yourself in other people's shoes always.
And yeah. So I brought that, thank you for that tip. I brought that into the conversation with the volunteer committee. You know, here's how we want people to feel, and here's how we create that. And so that sort of backtracked from there. And it was an amazing conference, leveraging from a lot of seasoned experience that the founder of the foundation, Monica Kretschmer, was able to bring based on her 5 years of hosting Women of Inspiration events and Big Galas events. That feel piece is so important. And I noticed it also last year when I was attending the inaugural Energy Disruptors Conference, which was hosted by Graham Edge and his team. And Richard Branston was the keynote for that, which was great. And some amazing speakers. This year I saw he had Malcolm Gladwell there and a number of others. And there was 2,200 in that. And so to create the space out of an empty hall to help those participants from all over the world who were coming to talk about how do we have a better planet and use our energy more efficiently and be creative and innovative, really created a great feel of collaborative conversation, of possibility of networking through the presentation area, and then also these sort of cafes and you know, bean bags, and you know, it was classy, but it was very comfortable. So,
and this is why I blog and why I write, is, you know, you're not, I don't think, an event planner by trade, but everyone virtually, I say this over and over again, everyone is an event planner at some point. Events are, they're just part of who we are as humans. They anchor memories, and you know, they bring people together in a way that even with today's smartphones and Zooms and technology, it just doesn't replace that in-person connection that you get, the emotions that you have when you're live with other humans in the same space.
Yeah.
So my hope is that through my blogging and my books, you know, I can inspire anyone to create better memories, to live a life by design, to produce more meaningful events and be successful at it. So I think it is such a universal thing.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, I meet so many people that say, oh, well, I don't like sales. Well, guess what? I mean, as part of our connection in conversation, you're almost selling something all the time because you're talking about what it is that you're up to. And at the end of the day, I mean, most people walk away saying, yeah, I really enjoyed connecting with that person. We all want to be part of community. We all want people to like us. And or if they don't like us, at least to respect us and build out that collaborative community, because we're all part of one planet. And if we're not helping each other, you know, there is no I in team, then it's a lonely existence. And that's why people who are in solitary confinement go crazy. And why, you know, Viktor Frankl wrote Man's Search for Meaning, and he was talking about the importance of, you know, what is it that really does create a purposeful life? And when you're working on something that is greater than yourself, that's when it's purposeful and impactful. And that was one of his, you know, solitary confinement learnings. And he had a lot of time to think in that concentration camp.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for putting that fabulous book together. All of, you know, all of the learnings that you shared in the book, whether it's a small dinner party or a 30,000 person event, it's a really interesting read for the listeners. I highly recommend that you pick up a copy of Gianna's book, The Art of Mentoring. Check out her website at GiannaGaldini.com. Is there anything else that we can do to support you in the Words, Women, and Wisdom community?
Oh, just continue the conversation. I love hearing from readers. I love to hear what people want to hear about, what they want to talk about, share learnings, support each other. So you can get me via my website. I just love hearing from people and meeting new folks.
Lovely. And let me know when that article comes out in Thrive. And I'm looking forward to reading that. And if any of your listeners are interested to learn more about the work I'm doing with the Words, Women, and Wisdom book, you can actually go to my website and download a 3-chapter ebook excerpt, just a little teaser to get you started. And that's wordswomenandwisdom.com. And A-N-D is spelled out in the middle, wordswomenandwisdom.com. And you can click there, become part of the Women in Wisdom VIP group, and you'll receive a copy, a three-chapter copy of the book. And when I get the ebook out, or the audio book out, rather, there'll probably be more information coming around that. It's been lovely to connect with you, Jenna. I know you have another meeting to run off to, so I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you for sharing your gifts with the world, and have an awesome day.
Oh, thank you, Yvonne. It was so great chatting with you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. Want to keep in touch? You'll find me at wordswomenandwisdom.com. Look for the things there for you as resources, articles, events, an opportunity to download a 3-chapter excerpt of my book, free. You can also join the Women and Wisdom VIP group by clicking on the Joyful 2019 box on the left with the two women jumping. There's articles, there's Facebook updates, and events that I'm hosting as well. The next one coming up is actually the Bold Women Leaders event on December 11th here at the Calgary Petroleum Club. Join me for that. Reserve your ticket now. I look forward to being of support for you in service. And if you would also like to book an opportunity for a laser coaching session, which is 20 minutes of what I call success power coaching or laser coaching, there's 5 spots available. Reserve one of those this month by going to Calendly, calendly.com/Yvonne-8. So Yvonne-8. and book into one of those success coaching sessions right away. There's only 5 of them. They are free of charge, and this is an opportunity for 20 minutes of power laser coaching. So look at the things that are available for you, the events that are coming up on the website, articles on LinkedIn that I will post links to, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you to share resources, uplifting the spirit of humanity, especially for women. Bye for now.